Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Noon on a Wednesday. That means it is Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow, joins us now on this NFL draft edition of Hutton O'Clock. Hutton, appreciate you for joining us. We heard from Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, Chad Brinker yesterday in the Titans pre-draft press conference. Anything in particular stand out to you from them yesterday?
I never know what to. By the way, this is the official NFL draft edition. I thought the last month and a half was.
Well, this is the official pre-NFL draft about 24 hours out edition of Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. We'll have another one next week, too.
That's fair enough. I look forward to it. I never know what to take from these pre-draft pressers. I appreciate them. But I think Washington's taking a quarterback. But that's pretty much it. I just listen for the philosophy. You know, it's just different to hear from this regime compared to regimes of the past. And it's not even like Rabel and Robinson. It's just the overall mentality to me of what they're looking for. I'm very intrigued. You know, they hear about the lockstep and collaboration. Like, they don't have to say that anymore. We get it. But I am intrigued to see how this draft goes compared to the one last year, which was Carthon's first draft. I'm fascinated by that. Not as much as what they do with the seventh overall pick and how they build potentially this offensive line.
Yeah, Jonathan Hutton is with us. When we heard Rand Carthon say that yesterday, so it kind of feels like my first draft. D-Mace and I both looked at each other, raised an eyebrow a little bit. What did you make of that?
I mean, I'm sure it does. If you buy into everything we've discussed, everything that was like kind of under the surface but never totally acknowledged, the fact that he went as long as he did without acknowledging anything throughout the season, Vrabel and Carthon for that matter, I'm sure it does feel like his first draft. It feels like his first off season, truly, just given the fact of having communication top to bottom. I look at last off season as kind of one foot in, one foot out, and we've been over that. And I'm maybe Carthon feels the same way about that draft. You know, you draft a backup running back and a backup quarterback, and now guess what those dudes are? They're starters. So, I look at that as some building blocks, but also like, okay, what would Carthon have done if it was this offseason, last offseason? Probably trading Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, personally. That's the way I look at it, and I'm thinking Vrabel didn't want to do that.
Yeah, maybe they, you know, the philosophies were different, and
they definitely were, right?
Yeah, so that's why you can't – being in lockstep when your philosophy is different it's not going to happen. It's just not.
Mace. Think about being in a draft room with Rand Carthon versus John Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Philosophies are different.
Yes.
If you don't believe that, just look at who they hired as head coach and who came in glowing about Rand Carthon. Mm-hmm. So like that's all the validation I need to say. Yeah. I mean, yes, I'm sure. By the way, I wonder what Chad Brinker thinks about this draft. As far as his first draft, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's also been promoted to a very high seat in all of this, too. So this is where Carthon and Brinker both get to shine. And, you know, you don't have I didn't see photos of Brian Callahan putting on some pads or not even having to put on pads and working out Dallas Turner during pro day like Vrabel would have done, right? Like, There's a feel and a vibe to Vrabel in the draft room that we would see even in the very small glimpses we had on camera. That's all we're allowed to see. We're given that perception. And I think the perception was a bit validated yesterday with what Carthon had to say.
Now, do you like how they are more coy than anything this season? Because even in their interviews, they are across the map. They're not letting you pin them down on one specific thing. I know Teron asked, you know, a few questions that you thought you were going to get a pinpoint answer, but they didn't give it to you. Do you like how it's operating this year? Because last year, I mean, for us, it probably was good because a lot of things were coming out of that building. But it just seems like this year they're not showing their hand one way or another. And we know the positions that they need, but they don't want to tilt their hand one way or another.
Yep, and I think part of that, I mean, a part of that's brilliant because you don't, I mean, brilliant because you don't want a team trading up above you trying to get someone, right? Like if you were in love with, you have Joe Alt, for instance, you don't want to tip anything there. Not that, you know, the Chargers could take him at 5 for all we know. But there are so many different scenarios even at 7, D-Mace, with, okay, the quarterbacks, how much is J.J. McCarthy really loved?
Mm-hmm.
If he's loved this much, there's a potential he could be the 3rd quarterback, not the 4th. The scenarios of if Drake May were to be this year's Will Levis, if J.J. McCarthy is the Will Levis and he falls, it falls to 7 is, a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, I'm kind of smirking there because that's not a fall. But you're in a great spot to trade back, and you have so many different scenarios of if you trade back, what you can get in return for a draft where you need more top 100 players on this roster. And if you trade back, what positions does that open you up for, mm-hmm. and which ones does it close off in the first round for you? Like, where's your line of demarcation of where you're willing to go to try to address a specific need and get a quality player that you do have graded as a first round talent? That's also part of this. So while, you know, no team is going to truly tip their hand,
mm-hmm.
Unless you have the first, second, or third pick here, and you're all three teams are quarterback needy. I mean, who knows what Arizona does? Are they trading back? Are they going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.? You know, mm-hmm. are the Chargers going to take wide receiver? Well, they will if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there. Are they going to take Joe Alt if he's not? Like, I who knows? And I think that's the intrigue, that's the mystery, and that's kind of the hope that the NFL sells about the NFL draft. Every single team, for the most part, except for this year, the top three, every single team can sell the fact that their options are open, the phone lines are ringing off the hook, and they're ready to wheel and deal and try to get the best player. And every team, by the way, is going to say they got the player they wanted.
Now, John, do you think it'll be hard to move out of that 7th spot? If, say, because there's starting to be, you know, rumblings about neighbors. And it seems like, for whatever reason, he's falling just a tad bit.
Do we buy that?
And that's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know whether to buy it or not, but it does impact that 7th pick if Neighbors does fall at the 7th pick. If people have questions about them, then I'm not sure someone would move up or give you what you want to move up to get a Neighbors, because now there are these question marks. Jonathan?
Well, okay, so you want to run through my top 10?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Caleb Williams, I've got Drake May going to the Commanders. I have a trade for Jaden Daniels with New England. I've got the Raiders trading up for him. Mm. And again, this is just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. McCarthy with the Cardinals trading to the Vikings. So I've got 4 straight quarterbacks. Now, here's where the run on receivers happens. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Chargers. Malik Neighbors to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the Jets will be on the move for either Neighbors or Roma Dunze. And in this case, it'll be Roma Dunze trading up one spot to get ahead of Chicago, who I think would want to pair Roma Dunze with Caleb Williams. That leaves the Titans with Joe Alt in my mock at 7. Now, I hear outside of, it's the quarterback draft and then there's the draft.
Mm-hmm.
All I hear, offensive tackle and wide receiver in those spots. And I don't know how the Giants, who are mocked with J.J. McCarthy and trying to trade up potentially or taking him at 6. I look at what they have at receiver. I don't know how they don't get the number 1 or number 2 receiver on their board right there at 6. And I think that leaves the Titans with a Joe Alt opportunity. I understand, though, why many are saying Malik Neighbors or Roma Dunze. And that's because, I mean, if you have the receiver ahead of any tackle on the board, you take that guy. Hopkins with probably, 1 year left, unless you extend him after the draft. And you have a contract where you're giving money to Ridley. You have the receiver and the quarterback on a rookie deal. You would be leaning on Bill Callahan's evaluation of the rest of the offensive tackles, especially with your first selection in the 2nd round, because there's a huge weight. That would really be tipping their hand on what they're after. But, man, at seven, if a quarterback is still on the board, those top four, who knows? Maybe even the top five if it goes crazy with some of the buzz that's picking up for Michael Penix Jr. I would love to trade back if I'm Tennessee with the lack of picks that they have in the first three rounds because of this the holes that still remain. And if you look top to bottom, just the depth of this roster is not where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. They've improved, but it's not where it needs to be. And while Joe Alt is incredible, I'm sure, is he Joe Thomas? If he's Joe Thomas, man, why would that guy be waiting until pick seven to go off the board in this draft?
Now, can the Titans get away with not drafting a day one starter at linebacker?
It's a great question.
And it doesn't have to be. I'm not talking about them drafting him in the first round. I'm just saying because that's a position of need. They need someone at that inside backer position.
Yes, they do. I mean, and here's the thing. I think there's going – just looking at where some of these guys are ranked or valued, there's a run on two spots where they need a starter before they pick again in the fourth round. It's going to be at safety and inside linebacker. But I think they need more impact up front on the defensive line, Derek, before they address the inside linebacker position. They've got Kenneth Murray. He had trouble tackling in space out in Los Angeles. I know all that, but, I mean, I'm also looking at a defensive front that lacks Danico Autry, and it's Jeffrey Simmons and everyone else. I think they have an opportunity to help that spot out pretty well with their second-round pick, if they address offensive line in the first round. If not, if they go any other position than tackle with pick seven and they don't trade back, I mean, they've got to get that tackle in the second round for Bill Callahan and this and Will Levis. Otherwise, I don't know what skill positions you're adding that are going to benefit all that much if they run back at an offensive line that's looks improved, but it's not nearly making the jump that maybe we're making it out to be just by adding a top-of-the-line center because, Mace, I mean, this was the 31st team in the NFL with the percentage of sacks on dropbacks last year. I mean, this is – they need a left tackle. They need a starting quality left tackle more than they do a second-round or fourth-round linebacker. But, hey, chances are whoever they draft at that spot – is going to be in line to compete for the starting role from the jump, just based on the depth that they have right now.
Let's rewind it a little bit. Go back to the press conference yesterday.
Yep.
Did you take anything from Brinker speaking first? Because I'm sure – well, I'm not sure. It was a big topic of discussion on our afternoon show with Jared. So much so that I'm listening to the radio, and I actually text Jared. I'm like, maybe they're doing it because of this. You're reading a little bit too much into who's talking or titles because to me there's a clear cut, you know, hierarchy here, at least to me. But it seems like yesterday when Brinker talked first, it may have thrown some people off.
You mean like, but you're saying the hierarchy is president, vice president?
Yeah, kind of but thing? I'm saying as far as the roster, just because Brinker speaks doesn't mean he's in control of the roster.
That's right. But, I think
he has a say, yes.
Based on title,
he has a
right?
say.
Yeah. And I mean, he's as far as the personnel and all that, I mean, I'm looking at the, I mean, optics, the perception's reality, right?
Yep.
They went to lengths compared to last year. They detailed the hierarchy pretty well for us in all of this, where they didn't want to speak on it. You had Amy Adams Strunk quoting exactly what she was doing with each position. I think the hierarchy is what it is right there. To me, the general manager is going to speak before the head coach, right? In most cases. Robinson, if it was Robinson and Vrabel, Robinson's kicking things off. In most pressers, unless it's a specific, like, second day of the draft pick and Vrabel steps up and says something about, you know, the certain type of defensive lineman or whatever that they just drafted, and then they take questions. But when there's opening statements mm-hmm. and Brinker talks first, I mean, that, to me, that's the hierarchy of the title of the job. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that speaks volumes, even for optically, of what they're trying to get across there. And I don't think there was much pushback in that.
Interesting.
I mean, why? Man, I mean, I if you wanted to stage it, if you wanted to stage it, you could have had Carthon lead things.
Yeah, and I get that part. I look at it from this standpoint. Because of title, yes, he is president. I get it.
Right.
From
president of football operations.
But when you're talking right. about, you know, hierarchy in roster, then yep. I do believe Rand and Brian are the two guys that controls that. Now, Brinker may come in. His input is there, yes. But I don't think there's, oh, Brinker's talking first because he's the one that has control over who's being drafted, who's not being drafted. I think he goes first because he's the president. And then now I defer. I'm going to talk as the president for the team.
But I'm going to defer. Nihil's the president.
Well, that would have been
Nihil,
talk at a press conference.
Exactly. But I think they're doing it a little bit different now. He's going to talk from a broader standpoint, and then Rand comes in as the GM / vice president. He talks from more of a micro. He's talking about the roster and how we want to construct the roster. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, and all fair. I'm going to try to just to be fair to the job stat. I'm pulling up the quote from Strunk in her release from that day, because it details. It's from January 24th, and as I pull up the back page, okay. So, where does it say here? Let's see. His role. This is expanding his role. Rand Carthon. His role to include full roster control and oversight of the coaching staff. Our organization will now benefit more completely from Rand's unique ability to build and lead a championship caliber football team. So by expanding his role to include full roster control and oversight of the coaching staff, isn't she telling us right there?
Yeah. So regardless of who speaks first, that's what I would. That's what I'm trying to get to. No matter who speaks first, Rand is in control along with Brian. You got to put him in there because he's getting the players that Brian wants. But Rand is control of the roster construction. There's no ambiguity here. Mm-hmm. He is in control of that along with the head coaches, not Brinker than anyone else.
Here's Brinker. Here's Brinker's role. From Amy Adams Strunk, I want our football operation to be at the forefront of the NFL as teams continue to find new competitive advantages. In this new role, Chad will blend his executive experience with his strengths in football and scouting to ensure our football operation continues to innovate and grow as new opportunities emerge. His oversight of these areas will allow Rand to focus his full attention and energy on building and leading a championship football team.
So basically, Rand's in control of the roster.
Of the final roster. But as far as building and strategy, analytics, direct oversight of the football departments, the football departments that address salary cap management, that is Chad Brinker.
Okay. All right.
So his security, video, equipment, grounds. Mm-hmm. Brinker's going to do all that. Plus, he oversees scouting evaluations of top talent in college and NFL. So Brinker is overseeing the scouting departments.
Okay.
So the scouts that come in, he's speaking. That's his department.
Mm-hmm. Hutt, last one right? before we get you out of here.
The area scouts.
Mm-hmm. It's at least what it sounds like.
Exactly.
Well, that's what Amy's saying, yeah. I'm just reading directly from her.
Okay.
All we know. That's all we know to this point, other than he spoke first.
Exactly.
Last one before we get you out of here, Hutt. What could happen tomorrow in the draft, from the Titans' perspective, that you would step away and say, I'm disappointed that the Titans made this decision?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, they're going to have to sell me on someone other than Alt if Alt is available and they go a different route.
Even if it's, say, like a neighbor's?
No. I'm saying at tackle.
Ah, okay.
At tackle.
At seven?
At seven, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you right now, there's a scenario where I think they have a real need on the defensive front, and I think people are going to be disappointed if they went that route. But who knows how this draft falls?
Yeah.
Like, no matter how many mocks we see, or how many times we talk about offensive line and wide receiver, I mean, what do we don't know what they think of Dallas Turner, for instance. If they're truly going by their board, if their board has someone ranked higher and they get the best defensive player and it's going to impact the quarterback, I mean, people are going to be disappointed. I don't necessarily think I would be disappointed with that. But they have to find a way to find that starter at left tackle. They have to come away with a true hit, not just a single or double. They got to get a triple or a home run with this selection, because this impacts if Rand Carthon feels like this is his first draft, this is the foundational draft of his tenure. He has to crush this. And that pick at 7, if they stick and pick, no matter who they go with, this is where we truly begin to judge him. And this is where they mark the new quote-unquote era of Titans football. They have been unable to find that true tentpole player in this first round. And very few and far between do they give a second contract to these dudes. Jeffrey Simmons is an outlier in that. They've got to find that dude.
That's why they find themselves in the roster position they're in now.
No doubt. No doubt. And they have to find that anchor on the offensive line. So while we saw Jack Conklin be the first pick for John Robinson, they're in a similar spot here, just on the opposite side.
I'm with you. Wherever they are, wherever they pick, whatever position they pick, it needs to be a foundational player for the next 10 to 15 years. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you as always. Thanks for stopping by. 36 hours, we'll know who it is, and we can talk about something else.
I'm already hearing that little chime on ESPN right now with the pick is in.
All right, appreciate you, Hutt. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, look forward to it, guys.
All right, appreciate it. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow. Coming up next, let's get into what you brought up, D-Maze, because there's been conversation about Chad Brinker talking first. I heard Jared talking about it on his show. I heard Joe and Robbie talking about it with Paul Kuharski this morning. What did we make of that? Did it create any confusion about the hierarchy of power that at least we all thought was pretty fairly and pretty pretty boldly stated by Amy Adams Strunk going into this new season? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.